Hello, this is Mike Fitch with Life Coaching, and welcome back to episode 8 of my podcasts. Today I'm going to talk about realizing your worth. Going through life, you need to understand that your value and your worth have nothing to do with what you have accomplished. You are worthy, period. That's hard for almost everyone I know to grasp, including myself. We all think that our worth is reflected in our job, our successes, our cars, our homes, our family, our notoriety, our wins, our losses, our playing time, our awards, etc. None of that is relevant. We are all worthy, regardless of whether or not we got the job, made the team, won the game, got the girl. Those are all simply events. They do not define us. Being able to step back and see all of those things pass in front of you and not allow them to impact how you feel about yourself is a gift and makes life a much more smooth process rather than living with all the ups and downs that come with everyone's lives. Playing as if it is life or death, all the while realizing it is simply a game, is a gift. That quote, or one similar to it, was prompted by a former player of mine named Andrew Dolly. Andrew played for me for 4 years on the varsity, and he played the game with more energy, effort, and drive than anyone I have ever seen. Yet when the game was over, it was over. It did not carry into his school day, did not carry into his home life. It did not negatively impact his self-worth. It was a game and it would be treated as such. But you can by God bet he was going to do everything in his power to win. But if he did not, then so be it. I learned a lot from coaching Andrew. A quote I heard recently said, "We have pushed happiness over the cognitive horizon." That was by Sean Aker, a motivational speaker. And he says that by constantly moving the target, once it has been achieved or accomplished, we actually never allow our brains to experience success. And I think athletics is probably more guilty of that than anything. Not that the business world isn't. But you need to be able to step back and pat yourself on the back and realize what you've accomplished. The desire and the need to constantly succeed is a good thing. But at some point, there needs to be some appreciation for what has been accomplished as well. We have to be happy once we get the job, then once we get the raise, then once we get the promotion, or once we get the degree, or get married, or have kids, blah, blah, blah. Whether in life or athletics, never being satisfied is a good thing. But to never take the time to appreciate what you have, what you're doing, what you've already accomplished is a mistake. In basketball, we constantly talked about the journey. And I've mentioned this before, teams that we've had that did not win the state championship that I refused to allow that season to be a failure in our players' eyes. We developed ridiculous relationships. We made amazing friendships, lifelong relationships that are worth a lot more than any win or loss. I guarantee you that. The journey has to be greater than the destination because the destination is up in the air. The destination is a maybe. We're not guaranteed anything, but the journey will always be there. We control that. We are a part of that. We are an active participant in that, regardless of what the destination ends up becoming. Appreciating and enjoying who you are taking the journey with is important. Stepping back and appreciating the ups and downs is important. Keep the memory without the emotional charge. Be able to look back on something, be it positive or negative, and just be able to look back on it without your emotions turning into something destructive, that knot in your stomach, the quickening of the pace of your heart, maybe even a sweat breaking out. being able to look around and appreciate what is instead of worrying constantly about what might be or what might have been will reduce a lot of stress. We all need to do the best we can to live in the moment. This is much easier to do when you value yourself, when your self-worth is adequate, when you realize that regardless of what has happened, will happen, is happening, you are worthy. This was always a major challenge for guys that played for us. We prided ourselves on playing as many players as possible in my years in the basketball program at Fruitland. And we did this for various reasons. We were usually gifted with a lot of very good basketball players, and we never wanted to waste that resource. So we wanted to play as many guys as possible. We also wanted to play so hard and hopefully fast that we would need depth in order to keep that up, because there are no five guys that could play as hard as we wanted them to play without pacing themselves. And pacing yourself was not an option in our program. You played both ends of the floor, and you played hard, or you did not play. The reason this was difficult for players was because playing time could fluctuate. When you're playing 10 guys, or trying to, you never really can predict who's going to get how many minutes. Players like to know what to expect. I don't blame them. I like to know what to expect, too. But playing time for players could fluctuate pretty drastically. When you're trying to play 10 guys and games are only 32 minutes long, well, you can do the math. Players that were playing better that particular game would get the minutes. It was so much on feel for us as coaches, who we subbed, who played. We played who we felt confident in. That could fluctuate from game to game, from quarter to quarter, from minute to minute. It could fluctuate, but it was also inextricably linked to the confidence that a player had in himself, which is hard if you're not getting a lot of playing time to maintain your confidence. And yet you needed that confidence so that when we looked you in the eye, it felt like the right thing to do to put you on the floor. We would preach confidence and self-worth all the time to all of our players, that in spite of playing time, you had to remain confident or your playing time would never increase. That is extremely difficult to do, especially for a teenager. I told you, we said it was hard. That is where self-worth comes in. Your playing time was not a reflection of your self-worth. The kids that could grasp that found playing for us easier. Usually what would happen if a guy had received limited minutes was that when they were given the opportunity to play, they would try to impress. They would try to do too much, and it would backfire. Instead of realizing that he just needed to play, he would try to prove to us, try to force things, try to make a mark, and it seldom worked out because there was too much pressure. They felt they had something to prove instead of just being them. But it's hard sitting in the gym in front of all those people, friends, family, peers, you not getting to play. Your self-worth better be pretty damn strong if you are not going to let that impact you. But it is a key. And it is a key throughout your entire life. Worrying about what people think about your car, your clothes, your job, your house will never make anybody happy. Ever. We tried to reinforce to our players that we loved them all and they were all important and that their playing time was not of a reflection of their value to the team. But that was a hard message to sell. Ego is a legitimate threat to happiness. One of the best stories ever, I told it every year, was of a player that we had named Travis Murphy. Travis graduated in 2003 and played on our first district title winning team. Travis was a really good athlete. He had a really good football season. He was a really good football player. He was a baseball player. And playing time in the basketball season was just hard to come by on that 2003 team. He was a tremendous teammate and friend, and he did everything we asked him to do the entire season. Travis never complained. He never whined. He never cried. He simply worked hard and waited for his opportunity. We made it to state that year for the first time in a long time, and in our first game, we had foul trouble and injuries. One of our players got knocked in the head with an elbow in the first quarter. Another rolled his ankle in warmups, and yet another had three fouls very, very early on. Enter Travis Murphy. Murph hits the floor in the biggest game of the year to that point and proceeds to get a steal, a rebound that led to a full court pass from Murph for a lay-in, and I think he may have even scored. This all in about a 2-minute span. Regardless of the details, he made us look really stupid for not playing him more, and we loved him for it. We told our players that all the time. Make us look stupid for not playing you. The bigger part of this story is that he was, I'm sure, frustrated about not playing, but he didn't let it poison him. He loved his teammates. He loved the team. So when his opportunity arose, he was ready, and he forever emblazoned himself on the legacy of Fruitland basketball. I would literally tell the Travis Murphy story every year, telling each of the teams and players that every one of them would be provided an opportunity to be a Murph. And it was up to them to take it when it arose. Travis remained confident. He remained positive, and it paid off. He did not get caught up in perception. He could have been sitting there pouting, and yet about that another game was going to pass without him getting to play very much here at state in front of this huge crowd. But instead, he kept his head and stepped in the biggest moment of the season. And I will never forget that. Or Murph. Here's another idea that might actually tie into my podcast from last week as far as parenting goes. I think some parents get caught up in their own self-worth being impacted by how their kids are perceived. I'm guilty of this at times. I can feel it in myself, but I've seen it enough that I'm hopeful I can recognize it when it does. I have to catch myself. Parents get insecure that if their kid is not a star or a major contributor, they see that as a negative reflection on them. Not that these parents are even living vicariously through their child, although that does happen. But they get even more angry than their child does about supposed slights in regards to playing time or recognition. They get more embarrassed. They worry more about perception. Remember, parents, number one, it's not about you. Number two, your child's performance and playing time and success is not a reflection on you at all. The kind of person your child is, how your child handles that adversity, that is a reflection on you. But it happens all the time. Then the kids are put in a really bad spot. Mom or dad is mad at the coach. They say, I'm getting screwed. I should be playing, starting, scoring, whatever. What is the kid supposed to do with this? Agree with it and appease his parents, adopt their philosophy, and probably ruin his season because his attitude towards the coach and his teammates starts to erode. Kids are put in terrible spots all the time when they have to choose between trying to make their coach happy or trying to make their parents happy. Please don't do this to your kids. Let them figure it out. Just be supportive. Unless you genuinely feel that your child is being mistreated, then that's a whole nother story. Take a step back and say, is this about my kid? Or is this about me before you do anything? I think that in life, we have to live with some, for a lack of a better term, F you. What I mean by that is we get all caught up in perception and what people think about us. We are not true to ourselves. Sometimes we have to live with some F you, meaning that they, whoever they are irrelevant. If we are letting static run our life, then we are making a mistake. The little perceived noises and slights and whispers and gossip can wreak havoc on our self-worth. We used to call it static on the basketball team. Excess, useless noise coming from our peers, media, community, and sometimes, yes, even parents. Tune out the static and just be you. Whatever life throws at you, You will be much happier if you are true to yourself and realize that you are worthy regardless. Handling feedback and criticism and loss are always difficult things. My advice is to understand it is just information. Take it in, process it, deal with it, and move on. It is not you. It is not a reflection of you. You can either let what people say and do impact you, or you can simply acknowledge it and release it so that you can move on. Nothing bad necessarily happens, just experiences that we either learn from or we repeat. We learn to deal with disappointment. We learn to deal with death. We learn to deal with divorce. And if we don't deal with it, it will haunt us. And by dealing with it, I mean feeling the pain, understanding where it's coming from. Because as we all know, no pain, no gain. If you continue to hide from it and try to cover it up and avoid feeling it, it will never go away. And it will manifest itself all through your life until you do successfully deal with it. Let things go. Don't dwell. Relax and release. Ask yourself, what benefit will there be by holding on to it? The truth is, everything will be okay as soon as you are okay with everything. And that's the only time everything will be okay. People that will be continually unhappy, and I am very guilty of this, are the ones that think they can dictate what life gives them, and then be regularly disappointed when life does not live up to their expectations or their preferences. What I wanted to have happen today did not occur, so I'm going to be angry and upset and emotional. Traffic was bad and made me late, so I'm going to be upset all day over it. The weather ruined my plans, so I'm going to stew on it and be really grumpy. Remember, life owes you nothing. Life is going to do what life is going to do, and you can try and fight it and argue with it and get angry at it when it does not meet your expectations, or you can relax and release and really focus on those things you can control. Troy O'Dell, my longtime assistant coach, was basically my Yoda. He and my ex-wife's father, Doug Mogg, were two of the happiest, most grounded people I have ever met. And life was good to them, to a point where people were envious. They did not deserve envy. They deserved to be revered for their approach to life and their healthy mentality when it came to taking what life gave you and not trying to control and manipulate everything to meet your plan. Doug and Troy were both amazing at that, are both amazing at that. And I am very envious of them for their ability to approach life in such a way. Life does not care about your plan. And your plan going awry is not a reflection of your worth. I feel very lucky that my son so far is a lot like Troy and Doug. He takes life as it comes and he does not lose sleep over static. May it always be so. I have known people my whole life that could not deal with their issues, that would languish in regret. They could not ever get over the hump. They could not hold themselves accountable or block out the static, and it haunted and limited their potential and their happiness. It slowly ate them from the inside out. It blocked them from success and happiness and freedom and love, because they refused to step back and see life for what it was instead of constantly being caught up in what it was not. In basketball, we tried to constantly be the team that was dictating things on the court. We wanted to dictate pace, dictate tempo. We wanted to make the other team uncomfortable, not allow them to run their stuff, disrupt their flow. We wanted to be the static in their lives. We would constantly speak of dictating things with our defense. And a good question for you to ask yourself is, who is dictating your life? Who is setting your pace? Who is setting your tempo? Is it you? Is it your boss, your spouse, your family, your career, your ghosts, your demons? Something to ponder. And I would be remiss if I did not give credit to this podcast, to Michael Singer, the author of Untethered Soul, whom I drew inspiration from regularly in creating the episode you just listened to. I want to thank all of you that listen regularly. If you're a first-time listener, I want to thank you as well. I hope that my ramblings and ranting provide some benefit to those of you that do listen. Thank you again, and we will talk to you next time.